This is a Stand Up Labs production, powered by digital media.
It's time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon. Crazy's Dominican, you know, Vladimir, come on, yo. My cool man from the county of Dade, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah! Ha-ha! This is In The Conversation, and this is Damian Lemon, and as always, on my right-hand side, I got...
Beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep-beep
Vladimir Camaño is in the studio. In the studio with that weird shit. Give it up for that man.
Key over here with the people, my man Muhammad. Where you at?
On my left-hand side, I got...
Hey, man, you got the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
I like it.
No Miami beat or nothing. To play. If I had known, I would have brought the Jummers beat with me.
Remind me of that old Faith Evans record that turned into a skating record.
Happy Hour song.
With a Fat Man Scoop.
You saying I sampled my beat, Damien?
I think so, man. I think you might have to give a publisher.
You know what I'm saying?
Got some copyright issues?
Dominicano Faith Evans going on.
Yeah. How y'all doing, fellas?
Oh, man, everything cool out here in the world, man.
It's good to have the triumvirate back in the flesh.
Ain't that something?
This feels like a rarity.
So happy to see
a very special episode.
I know. Saw Muhammad give him a big hug when he came in. Happy to see the brother, man.
It's a very momentous occasion.
Yeah.
It is, man. We out here eating wings, living life. Discussing, appropriation of the curl, maybe? I don't know.
I like that, appropriation of the curl.
Appropriation of the curl.
Yeah, we was having a little debate about the hashtag Shea Moisture situation that's going on.
The debacle.
The Shea Butter Wars.
The Shea.
You know what I'm saying? Well, you know.
Shea Whitey.
If you're not up on it, you know, the company Shea Moisture, who does, you know, hair care products, skin products, but they started with mostly hair care products that was adopted by the Shea Butters.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Which we affectionately call, you know what I'm saying, the real black girls with natural hair.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They adopted the Shea Moisture off the rip and have been holding them down.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? For quite some time.
Black Girl Magic, Team Natural.
Team Natural, Black
Afro
Girl.
Afropunk.
They were like, they were like a standard.
Fort Greene.
You know what I'm saying? They were like a standard in that community. Like, you know
Absolutely.
What I'm saying?
Absolutely.
After Carol's Daughter kind of went pop.
Right.
Shea Moisture came in and took over.
What about Miss Jessie? Where's she at?
You know, one of the sisters died.
I know about that.
I haven't seen it much since then. I'm not sure.
It's still in the world.
I'm not saying it's not in the world, but they used to do a lot of campaigns and stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Isn't that Diva Curl too?
Ooh, wow, you getting deep.
Oh, yes, see,
Diva
look,
Curl.
Look at Vlad. You know, Dominicans
black
got
ladies
curls.
Diva Curl. Wasn't there like a woman, like a black woman back in the day who was like super rich? She was the first woman of color to start her own.
Madam C.J. Walker.
Wasn't she a hair, like a hair product?
Yeah, I get some points, some woke points.
You know what I mean?
Who is?
Madam C.J.?
Yeah, she was also.
Yeah. First black woman millionaire.
Getting
you know what I'm
money.
All right, you know, they list her kind of as the first black millionaire, but, you know, it's a little debate about that, you know what I mean? But anyway, Shea Moisture put out a commercial yesterday.
Yeah.
Which was, what, Monday?
Yes.
And it was an ad about, you know, the love, hate, hair relationship. Mm-hmm. And it was one curly haired girl, which... could have been Dominican, could have been black, could have been, she was a light-skinned curly.
Was her curl not tightly wound enough?
She was okay.
A looser curl?
She wasn't really the problem.
Okay,
she wasn't
right.
really the
okay,
problem.
Okay, talk to me.
So you started the commercial off with the light-skinned curly.
With a loose curl.
With a little wavery.
Okay.
And then the rest of the commercial was all white girls. Stringy-haired white girls, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And they were all talking about, you know, how people, you know, didn't like their hair or, like, you know what I'm saying? They really appropriated the natural.
The struggle.
The struggle.
They took the struggle. They dole us out.
They dole us out the shit out of it. And so it was like, it's probably like four white girls and the curly-haired black girl talking about, you know, how, you know, the hate for their hair and, you know, how they're now coming into terms with, you know, feeling their hair and loving their hair.
Wow.
I guess you're supposed to assume after they start using Shea Moisture, they're loving their hair now, you know, all that good stuff.
See, I wish we had a good Shea up here to really speak to the...
But we don't.
We're going to speculate about how, shout out to the Shays, you know first saying? Of all.
I reached out to a couple. I had no success in bringing a Shea up.
You documented many Shays in the media landscape.
I mean, it's interesting because... I shot a piece for Shea Moisture.
Right.
A documentary for Shea Moisture. And it was a lot of white girls in that video.
Uh-oh.
You know what I'm saying?
So you seen it coming?
No, not that I seen it coming. I understand, like you said, I know where they want to go. They want to get out the ethnic eye. They want to grow. They want to expand into, you know what I'm saying, mainstream.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Moisture. What'd you say, Vlad?
Mainstream moisture.
I was saying moisture is universal. Moisture. Everybody needs moisture, you know what I mean?
Well, now we're going to talk about it, but that was my question. I said, unfortunately, we don't have any Shays up here to really give us the insight, because what I want to know is, what is the impact that Shea Moisture, in particular as a product, have on their hair that is significantly different from other products? And I kind of want to know now, right? Because it seems to be like these white women are saying, hold on now, I had some struggle myself, and Shea Moisture has impacted me. I'm curious to know what the impact is on either side of the aisle.
Well, you know, that's two different things, you know what I'm saying? There are a lot of products out there that speak to that audience. There's a lot of products that these women use. I'm married to a Shea Butter woman myself. I got a nappy fro myself, so, you know, by default, I use Shea Moisture like a mother.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I knew I was using Shea Moisture before I knew I was using Shea Moisture.
Right.
When I went in to do the meeting with Shea Moisture, my wife was like, yeah, we know we got that in the bathroom.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I think
shout out to the women in the lives. The women always are the forerunners on the moisture, that the health and beauty products.
Hey, without them, boy, we'd be ashy. Yeah. Ashing. But the thing about it is that, you know, Shea Moisture has a wide product line. You know what I'm saying? They expanded their product line very wide, so they have a lot of stuff.
Right.
So, you know what I'm saying? It's not just one little cream and one little this or this two. It's a lot. They have shampoos. They got da-da. They got men's shit. They got aftershave. They all kind of shit. But, again, I think the problem with the ad, the problem is not with the product. You know what I'm saying? The ad came out, and it's an ad, and it wasn't written well. You know what I'm saying? If you write an ad and your core consumer is a black girl from Brooklyn, Team Natural.
Right.
And then you got, you know, four white girls.
Right.
And one of the lines that one of the white girls deliver is, I feel like I've conquered the world.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? She was talking about her hair.
Whoa.
But, I mean,
whoa,
it's bad when you have a black-owned company and you write an ad with a white girl saying, I feel like I conquered the world. But you know what I'm saying? It doesn't play well.
And she said it was so much joy and zest. You know, she was very...
And, you know, she was talking about her hair per se.
Oh, I feel
but
like I've conquered...
It's just like you missed the whole... It was like nobody sitting in the boardroom. It's kind of like with the Pepsi shit. Nobody said, hey, that might not play well. We might want to let the curly haired girl say that one. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Nah, that might not be believable. People won't believe that she conquered the world.
Hilarious.
You know what I'm saying? So amongst all of the complaints that, you know what I'm saying, that are going on Twitter, you know what I'm saying, on both sides of the fence, I think the ad was just a bad ad off the rip. You know what I'm saying? It just did not. It's one of them times where you believe your marketing plan more than reality.
Can Shea Moisture recover?
Yes, they're going to recover. There's people still using that
moisture.
Shit right now.
They need the moisture.
They're going to recover. It's just, I don't know.
Where you going to get your moisture?
I don't know if, because, you know what I'm saying, you know, they have their marketing department is pretty much all white women.
Ooh.
So, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of like they're gonna recover, but I don't know if they're gonna get the lesson off of this that, you know what I'm saying, that you have a core group of people and you can't just discard them, you know what I'm saying, when you want to grow. You can't just disregard them when you want to grow. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, D Lemon, you're not gonna be able to. If you got a core group of people that watch you, that
right,
understand that, follow you, you're not gonna say fuck all them. I'm about just gonna do this one thing over here.
Well, let me ask you a question, because that's my question again. Like, I'm not as I don't know enough about the situation. I know about Shea Moisture. Mm-hmm. I know that is definitely in the community, you know, right? But, and I would have never caught the, I feel like I conquered the world, had you not pointed that out. I don't,
you wouldn't have caught that if you heard that?
Not if, first of all, I probably wouldn't have watched a Shea Moisture commercial that deeply. Like,
I mean, that's not even deep. That's surface.
I guess. But see, my thing, had you not said nothing? My thing was on the fact that there was white women in the Shea Moisture commercial. I was watching it kind of on mute.
Right.
I was like, okay, I see what I see what the disruptive shit is right here. Mm-hmm. That's what the thing is. I didn't even hear the part of, yeah, I feel like I conquered the world. But my question is, can Shea Moisture not try to get some white money?
That's not the question, because yes, of course you can.
Okay.
You could always go get some other money.
Uh-huh.
What I'm saying is, you can't just eliminate your old audience and move to a new
one. But that's my, was it a shit on? Because yeah. I felt like it was a fade. It was like one record they played. Yeah, they went with. Yeah,
nah, that was, shit was more than, it wasn't a blend, yeah, goddamn. That shit was like,
Shea Moisture is white.
How you go from, reggae, how you go from Shea Butters, Brooklyn Girl, as you say, Afro Punk, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Everyday People, blah, blah, blah. Woke. Black Girl, woke, real Black Girl shit, Team Natural. But and we, not have not one in the ad.
Nah, I hear that.
When you do your blend, if you do your blend, yeah, start off with your core, then do a little fade to, you know what I'm saying, fade to white. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right, right.
Five
right.
girls, do you know what I'm saying? Do the light skin, curly, two browns, and then two whites.
I hear that. I just think, to your point, I think maybe the ad was tone deaf. It was a little clumsy. I don't know if it was a disrespect. Like, if I seen, like, some white folks in a Dax ad, you know what I mean? Or some Murray's or some shit, I'd be like, damn, they really trying to go white. They reaching. Like, I wouldn't feel assaulted, though. I wouldn't feel like...
You don't use Dax.
I mean, but I... Or, you know what it is? And that's another thing. That's why I wish we had a Shay here. Because I do feel like women invest a little bit more, even emotionally, with the products that they use.
Right, because
motherfuckers will buy some shit. They ain't that much brand loyalty.
I mean, like, for a woman who's using a lot of these products, right? Like I said, I ain't no woman, but I've used these products because I have to.
So have I.
But let me ask you this. To that point, let me just ask, before you go there, the narrative that's put on this, mm-hmm. right? Because it is a narrative, mm-hmm. right? It's this narrative of, like, I look at, we was talking about, like, say, for instance, Bevel. Mm-hmm. Bevel is explicitly said, this is shaving tools for coarse and curly hair.
Right.
This is the, you know, y'all have been limited and marginalized to the ethnic needs aisle. This is for you.
Mm-hmm.
Black brothers and people with kinky hair, this is for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I get it, because they, like, explicitly say, yo, this is for you. Now, if you go over here and you fucking with my man with a crew cut, who ain't got no kinks or nothing. Now I feel like you abandoned your statement. I don't know. Again, like, I'm not intimately with the interworkers of the messaging of Shea Moisture.
Man, you know.
I know that they, you know what I mean?
You know that ain't too many white people been fucking with Shea Butter at all. Chris, you use Shea Butter growing up?
No,
I didn't. Oh, well, that's Shea Butter.
I've heard of it.
The name of the company is Shea Moisture.
I know.
You know what I'm saying?
I know that.
When we say Shea Butter, we already know what I'm talking about.
I know
what I'm talking about. If I say the Neo Shays, you know what I'm talking about. We've been talking about the Shays.
I mean, the word Shea alone just makes you think 125th Street, the little African market.
And I think that's where the dude started. Probably. On 125th Street.
You know, that's what you think about, the big old block of butter.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Wrapped in saran wrap.
That shit was good for you before they started talking about holistic health
questions.
And, you know what I'm
indirectly saying? Answered. Is that Shea Butter? These dude, number one, the best Shea Butter. You know, they would give you the indirect.
I see it. But my thing is it just a gross, sloppy crossover move trying to sell out? Or is it an insult?
It's both. Mm. It's definitely they trying to move to bigger heights, of course. But it's definitely insulting to the core audience to just, like I said, totally disregard that they exist in this particular piece. That's all I'm saying. Like, at the end of the piece, you see, like, a collage of women at the very end, and they have some dark-skinned women in there. But none throughout the whole piece was shown or said any words. So, you know, it's one of the mistakes that companies make.
Have you talked to your wife about it? This situation?
Well, we laughed about it.
But it was light.
Yeah, it was light. It was light. You know what I'm saying? It ain't no, you know, again, she not on social media like that, so she not getting invested with the, you know, back and forth, and she not a think piece writer. She, you know what I'm saying, she going about her day. But I will say this, you know what I'm saying? No, understanding where the company wants to go, and they want to go there and take over, and understanding how my experience working with them as far as what they wanted to deliver, mm-hmm. I could see how this mistake was made, because, you know, again, sometimes you get into a point where you know where you want to go, you know what your marketing plan say, you know what your shareholders and your investors want, and you say, fuck it, we just gonna go. You know what I'm saying? But then you catch the backlash from the people who been supporting your shit since it was just one product.
And they need some representation on that board, probably.
They need some representation in that marketing department, for real, though.
Somebody's getting fired.
Not really. Ain't nobody getting fired. Nah, because they value that switch more than they value this backlash. I bet you that. They value that crossover more than they value this backlash.
Because they might even have a meeting about the crossover. They were like, listen, Black Twitter's going to drag us. This will last about 72 to 96 yeah, hours.
Right.
It's going to be intense. It's going to be worse than anything you felt, but it may be for the best. I'm not sure.
That could be how it went.
And this is going to be a Black man telling his white colleagues, this is what's going to happen. It's going to affect me probably the most, because I'm going to be the most in my feelings. You guys are a little disconnected. You don't even understand why we're tone deaf. I don't know. I'm tripping.
Nah, man, but the Black man owned the joint.
That's what I'm saying. So that's a damn shame. It ain't no, I mean, and I can't speak. I don't know what it is for real, but and I don't want you to say anything that, like, if you can't speak all the way on it, but it's no people of color on the marketing department if they got such a pure demo.
I'm not sure who's in it now. It was one girl in it then. You know what I'm saying? They expanded. Somebody posted a picture from LinkedIn with four different people, four of the senior people in marketing. Mm-hmm. It was all white girls. It was the same lady I worked with as the senior VP. Mm-hmm. And then it was two new white girls that I'd never seen before. Mm-hmm. But even when we were working on the project, the document, I'm going to post that shit too so y'all can see it. Even when we was working on that, you know what I'm saying? It ain't a plug. I'm just saying, just so y'all can have a point of reference. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
get
I ain't
confused
gonna,
too. I mean, fuck that.
You know what I'm saying? It ain't like that shit ain't gonna, you know what I'm saying? I'm gonna get views and slander off the slander. Hey. But you know what I'm saying? It was still that conversation of, hey man, this might be a little too white.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And
they were like, we know.
But even in that documentary, it was still from a curly hair perspective because the women that were talking all had mixed kids, Black kids.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But when you put it all together and they all telling their hair stories and shit, it's like, yo, bro, this a little too white. So we actually ended up doing another shoot day, mm-hmm. and adding more Black women to the mix. And my wife was probably, she the darkest one in there. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I'm saying? At that point, that was, you know what I'm saying, that was a pushback. Like, hey, man, this is not going to work, man.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? At least from my perspective.
Right.
And, you know, we put it out, and it, you know, it didn't get much slander, but I don't think Black Twitter was as strong a few years ago as it is today.
My question is, and I'm curious, I would like to see what happens. Will there be more protests beyond Black Twitter, and will the Shays take a stand and make Shea Butter, Shea Moisture, like, rectify this, speak to this shit, like, because
I don't know, you know, they going hard.
Let's see what happens.
They going hard right now. They standing for it.
Shea Watch
2017.
There's just a lot of pain behind hair, too, man. That's the other thing, too.
Yeah, and that's the documentary we did. That's exactly what it was about. And, you know what I'm saying, white women have pain in their stories, too. But it's not the same when you have your own pain with your hair, then go outside and motherfuckers got shit to say, and then
you know, women getting fired over their hair. You know,
you can't get a job because of this kind of hair. Correct. And then you know what I'm saying? You know, motherfuckers calling you nappy head, they ain't got that. Mm. You know what I'm saying? No matter how much they don't like their own hair, they don't have that. And
their
struggle's
a little different. And, their hair might have been just a little too blonde and flaxen.
Yeah, because yeah. What's embedded in the Shea Moisture, you know, community is that
we struggle
and we're gonna love ourselves with our hair.
And it's the same thing you said about Bevel. You've been, you know what I'm saying, casted marginalized. To the size, marginalized.
Bamboozled, let astray.
And I think that's what sold them. That's what made them successful. And then now they like, you know,
right?
We don't care. The margins ain't making us the margins,
right?
So, you know what I'm saying? Fuck your margins and your edges.
So that's the problem with it. Like, you know, the product is about be proud of your hair, be proud of what you got, and we're gonna give you the products to, you know, take pride in your hair type. You know, and then when they put an ad like that out, you know, you get pissed off, man. You get angry. You know what I mean? You get mad.
You get mad.
I feel like I've conquered the world. I mean, that, you know.
Yeah, that took it over the top.
Shout out to the black women out here.
And at
man.
Least they could have written a portion where, you know, I don't know how they could have done it. I'm not in ads advertising, but to have them say something like, you know, I know this feels weird saying this, but I feel awkward as a white woman talking about this.
Nah, that's too breaking the fourth
wall. I don't know what it
she
is.
No, she's not even in tune with that. Nah, she reading what's on the script.
You can't just not have. It's like a bad episode where something happened and they didn't talk about how they got to point X.
Right.
Like, you're just going to skip out all that writing in between?
Hey, we only got 30 seconds, player. Let's get it.
Shout out to the black women, man. It's been tough recently as far as just, you know, identity politics and shit. Mm-hmm. I was reading this article in The Stranger by a woman, and I might pronounce her name wrong, Ijeoma Olu. She interviewed Rachel Dolezal, who is now going by... I'm not even going to give it the justification of trying to pronounce it. But it's I'm going to put it up on the Facebook because it's pretty ill. Like, the fact her crux of her argument is race is a social construct, which we kind of touched on at one point, or race is a social construct. And for black people to get upset about her claiming her blackness, it's really on them because they are uninformed about the fluidity and the fact that the propaganda of race being a social construct, unfortunately, they're not informed enough to grasp that it's a bit more fluid than they think. So unfortunately, due to your ignorance, I'm still black on your black ass.
Hey,
that's how it's going
to
be.
Hey, I mean, Vlad, you may be able to speak to it a little more than me.
I think identity has a residue to it. You know, the fact that I speak Spanish, right, is it's a residue of Columbus landing on Dominican Republic,
mm-hmm.
and me being not able to say, oye, ¿cómo está? No. That's a history of colonization that I have that's been osmosis or bequeathed to me.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't study that. That's not something you like. I have things in me that I don't even realize have been passed down to me culturally and historically by my parents and by my parents and my grandparents that I'm not even aware of.
Right. But like when a real dark skinned Dominican that looked like D. Lemon, mm-hmm. says that they're not black.
Oh yeah, that's
they're white. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, you mean I know black.
Like, so you know what I'm saying? I tend to think Rachel Dolezal might have a strange kind of point in that respect. Not that I like either one of the, mm-hmm. the conversations, because you know my stepmother's Dominican and she has her sister's dark and she has a couple of like darker skinned people in her family that like.
I knew there was something real. I knew something. I'm not
black.
Hold on now. Let me say something really fast though, real quick. First of all, update. Shea Moisture has spoken to the controversy on the Shea Moisture Facebook. It says, real talk with Shea Moisture. It says, wow, okay. So guys, listen, we really fucked this one up. They didn't say fuck, they said F this one up. Problematic that they say so, guys. I think this is mostly women here being mm-hmm. affected. But anyway, please know that our intention was not and would never be to disrespect our community, and as such, We are pulling this piece immediately because it does not represent what we intended to communicate. You guys know that we have always stood for inclusion in beauty and have always fought for our community and given them credit for not just building our business, but for shifting the beauty landscape. And it goes on and on and on and on. So somebody jumped up there and they had to,
but you know what I'm saying? That's something.
A little bit of damage control.
Yeah, they had to stop the shit, to stop the bleeding.
Well, we didn't think they did. 2 seconds ago, we kind of felt like it was going to just die down, maybe.
No, I mean, I knew that I'm talking about the people, not what.
Did you think this was going to come out?
I had seen that already.
Oh, okay, pardon.
But I was talking about the people. I don't know how far the Shays gonna take it.
Right. We're gonna see what the Shays have to say.
Because the Shays already poo pooed that.
I can tell you love saying that. The Shays. What the Shays have
the
to
Shays.
Say.
That's the Shays. That's Ali's slang.
What the Shays.
Say butter.
He loves saying that, man. You can tell you love saying that. He dig it.
When I first got to Brooklyn, you know what I'm saying? The Shays was real.
The Shays.
Because that's when you had to go get your shave from a person. Like, you know,
that's
what
I'm saying. It was the African dude with the wrap on it.
You know what I'm saying? Or a black girl with dreads.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And you had to ask them instructions. How do you prepare this? And they give you the whole like system where you're gonna do X, Y, Z first and then, you know.
I guess I already seen it coming. Like, shea butter is shea butter. Mm-hmm. There's nothing more uncut, more raw, more pure than shea butter. You know what I mean? So when I see they doing a shea moisture, I seen a dilution already. I see they trying to hybrid it out. I'm trying to go mass.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it never really surprised me that Shea Moisture was looking for more than just Fort Greene Park.
No, we knew that. We knew that they were trying to get Target. They were trying to get Walmart. Now we want off the ethnic aisle. We want into the mainstream aisle. Yeah, everybody wanted to grow. You know what I'm saying? But you know, sometimes that pivot ain't as you gotta have more finesse with your pivot.
Yeah, you could have even had like a I'm just me bad version brainstorming. Just women of color talking about the importance of moisture in your hair. And just saying how moisture across the board is just good for the scalp.
Right.
And let that message play out. It's no difference than when Empire did well on network TV. It wasn't marketing to a certain demographic. The shit just did well.
Right.
And they were like, you know what? We're going to get into the season. We're going to do a spinoff.
Nah, but when you get in that boardroom and you start thinking about what's fly, what can we do to jump over to the fly aisle? You know what I'm saying? Then you start making shit up that ain't real. You just start coming up with shit. Same with Carol's Daughter. You know what I'm saying? They came, you know what I'm saying, with the fly models and shit and upgraded shops and shit.
Wasn't Jada Pinkett one of their spokespeople?
Well, Jada Pinkett was cool, but then they had some white models and all that doing Carol's Daughter. You know what I'm saying? Because they wanted, you know, Steve Stout wanted to get it fly. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, they still around. They don't, they ain't not as strong in the community as they was, but they still around. So maybe it might have worked. I don't know.
Well, it goes back to what you and I talked about earlier, like many, many months ago, about telling your story, like not trying to massage it for a specific audience.
Mm-hmm.
Just tell your story. Right. And if it's a good story, it's going to sell.
Right. But then you got a good story, but then you got, you know what I'm saying? If you got four white ladies that's in charge of telling your story, they might tell it in a way where they may feel most comfortable hearing it themselves, as opposed to what will build on the actual community that you already have and then take it to the next place.
You remember when they interviewed Denzel about Fences and they asked him, was it important to have a black director? And Denzel, I forget what he said, but he was something along the lines of like, there's a cultural significance to having a black director for this.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a cultural understanding that you have of how to deliver certain messages. And I think to what you're saying is like, they're looking at it as numbers and cents.
Yeah, they looking at it as money.
As money. They're looking at it like, oh, there's a cultural component to this, you know.
Right, it's a spiritual.
It's balance sheet, yeah.
I mean, like you say, D, let me say it. Like, these, you know what I'm saying? People put spiritual value on getting that hair together, man. This more than, this bigger than, you know what I'm saying, just moisture.
Yeah.
This is, you know what I'm saying, identity. This is culture. This is, you know what I'm saying, this is historical shit.
I mean, I know I got a number of women of color that used to twist their hair to Erykah Badu with some, you know, grapefruit essence in the background. You know what I mean?
You know what I'm saying? Guys going to get their little twist to grow their
dreads
with beeswax. D, you was in the middle of that down in Atlanta. Oh, 5 Points crew.
I was walking around in Fort Greene. I was around. I was in that, you know, shit. I was walking around all in that. I never had bees, but I did have an onk.
You know what I'm saying?
I did have an onk.
What you was hanging your onk on?
Oh, no, I had a gold chain with an arc on it. I was still trying to. Yeah, I was still trying to.
You was Neo Shay back then.
Yeah, I was trying to live in both worlds.
Neo, you know, Shay.
Shit. Yeah, but
you wearing oils and shit.
I didn't, yeah, I did a little Blue Nile. I didn't go too hard. I didn't go with a twill vest with no shirt underneath. I ain't go that far.
Look, Dr. You know Seuss. You ain't go Dr. Seuss on him.
I ain't go Dr.
Butch,
Seuss.
Butch Lewis, you know what I mean? You know what Butch Lewis had the no shirt on with the jacket.
Yeah, oh, man.
Yeah,
but you know, yeah, I appreciate the culture, and I feel as though, I mean, to your point, it smacks of a company that has gotten disconnected from their core, and they got to figure that shit out. They got to say, yo, we can't have this no more. We need somebody in here that speaks for the demo.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if we... And we got to figure out, if we trying to make that pivot, we got to have some patience with it and be a little bit more subtle.
You got to be having a little finesse to it.
Dog, man, like, people forget that, like, especially in the, you know, the community of colored hair, like, these recipes have taken a long time to be discovered. You know what I mean? A lot of trial and error was done, you know what I mean? A lot of different experiences of combing and you know, burning your hair and then trying to grow it back. Like, this recipes, like, I remember, you know, I have friends, mayonnaise and honey. And then to just kind of say, hey, you know, it's for everybody. It's like, hold on for a second. Wait a minute. I had to go through struggle to get these notes right. You know what I mean?
And I guess, you know, I mean, not to beat this horse all the way down to the ground, but, you know, now the question is, are y'all changing the formula? Because, you know, what's for them ain't really for this. Right. You know what I'm saying? If that's the case, we could go buy motherfucking, you know, Paul Mitchell.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So,
but you know, that's why I always, on another note, I always want like a good, I wish we had a good black box store. You know how they got the big box stores like Target and Walmart? And then every so often there's this whole
That's
thing.
Hilarious.
Black folks, we need to stop fucking with Target. We need to stop fucking with Walmart just to let them know to flex. Mm-hmm. But every so often in the movement, you might want to buy, you know, a bunch of waters for the low. Maybe they need to have like a Jerome's or some shit, like a black box store that just caters to the community.
Oh,
maybe
boy,
we
got to
start,
man,
catering to our community a little
That's
bit more.
That's hilarious.
You know what I'm saying?
There's a lot of lorries everywhere. Lorries and all kinds of...
We committed.
You know what I mean?
Committed moisture. We are committed to you. You ain't gonna see. Yo, I told we go steady.
Oh, man, that's hilarious.
Write your name on the bottle. This is me. And no, I'm fucking with
you.
Anyway. It'd
be like Costco, like the membership fee you got to pay $40
a month. I could be cynical because at the end of the day, we all know, or we should all understand, as romantic as it gets and as deeply as it could be felt when people fuck with your culture or play to your culture and create a narrative that's like, we celebrate you. If it's still in the intent to sell a product, there is some commercialism. There's some capital gain to be, you know, that's being sought. So when they do some shit that's like, oh, that was offensive, I could understand being offended, but I'm not always surprised.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, but they try to get money.
In this get money society, this capitalist society, the consumer got a voice now like a motherfucker.
They always right.
So when you do it, it's at your own risk. You know what I'm saying? Because you run the risk of getting drugged. Everybody getting drugged, man. They can't wait to drag a motherfucker.
That's the new. That's the new. That's the new question of the meeting. Like, what's your demo's Twitter use?
You know what I'm saying?
What do they do?
You know what I'm saying? What's your kite score?
Your clout score.
Your clout score is shit. You know what I'm saying? Get your customer service up, because That's the whole, that's all this shit is about now. If you're trying to make dollars, you got to make them customers right.
And it's true, and even now, more so than ever, you know, with United and then Pepsi, you know, you could literally lose some business.
You will lose business.
You know, if you're not, I fly American, and
United was super nice.
Was
beating motherfuckers up. They was ripping, and that was some UFC shit.
American had some shit the other day.
Yeah,
this
dude.
What they do with
the dude pushed a pregnant woman.
No, she had a baby.
Oh, she had a baby. Sorry, she had a baby. It was a live baby. I apologize. It wasn't an incubator.
It was a baby in her arm. He snatched the stroller from her and kind of bumped, rustled the baby.
Ooh.
And then another passenger, was an older dude, he about 60. He's like, you do that to me, I'll lay you flat. And I still call him a stewardess. Because in this case, he was a stewardess.
Why in this case?
Because he was an old disrespectful ass sucker. You know what I'm saying? He was a stewardess.
So go ahead.
So he come on, hit me. It was crazy.
Oh,
man.
He was trying to beef?
Yeah, he was beefing. Like, you sit know what I'm saying? Be humble. Do your job.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
He backed up, though.
He backed up, but my man got up out of his seat like, what? I'm going to lay you flat.
Yeah. You do that to me, I'm going to lay you flat. And he was in the window seat, so he had to get up and cross the aisle.
He got up, crossed the aisle. You know it's bad when the first class motherfucker had to get up.
It was the first class.
Yeah. That's the first row.
You know what I mean? He had a little champagne.
he had his Rolex on, champagne. I will lay you flat.
And then I love the stewardess because he was like, go ahead,
when
hit me.
When the 1% enters the struggle.
The stewardess said, go ahead, hit me. And then he said, you don't even know the story.
He was like, there's no reason you should hurt a baby.
That's what he said.
I don't care about the story. I don't give a fuck about the story. There's no reason you should hurt a baby.
You don't even know the story.
But see, that was the...
You don't even know. You don't even know the story.
Now, D, yeah. You heard the story.
Right.
Now, if that 1%er
right.
was a black man getting up...
Oh, forget about it.
They
would have
shot him.
They would have shot his ass. They let him go all the way wild, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, I've seen
Kung
that.
Fu Joe on the stewardess.
Well, you know, that's a different story. That's a different narrative.
It's like, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, well, when they going to arrest this motherfucker here?
But let me ask you a question.
If it was like a, you know, if it was a dude from like the block, like, yo, my man, don't put hands, you know what I mean?
Right. Because, well, let me ask you that. That's the question I want to know. You say this guy was a 60-year-old guy. Was he actively 60 or was he just 60 speaking up because he's pripped? Like,
he got up to whoop ass. Yeah, he got up to put his hands on.
And how was the stool? What was the flight attendant's age, weight?
He probably was like 47.
Okay, so it could have
been
a,
you know, bald head.
It could have gone either way.
He would have got it. He probably would have got it.
A little front
flight. The 60 would have got the knockout?
The 60 would have knocked his.
Yeah, I think he would have knocked him. Absolutely, yes.
60 would have won.
He wasn't no little dude. He wasn't no little joker.
Yeah, more reach. You know what I mean?
Okay. And he was already ready to go.
Because my question is,
Stewardess was on the back pedal. He was on the, yeah, come on, hit me.
You don't even know the story.
He ain't want no problem.
You don't know the story.
Because he knew he had the police on his side. The police was right there. You know what I'm saying? Hit me.
They be wanting that. They go hard. Them airplane people are real tense and quick. Them motherfuckers is quick to get you up out of there.
Because they know. You know what I'm saying? They know they got the whole gang. They got a gang on their side, man.
Okay. I was just curious because now if he beat up the 60-year-old too. He beat up the baby and the 60. Would that have been foul? Or would the 60,
I mean, he would have been, he would have been protecting that. Himself, you know what I'm saying? In that case, okay. The 60-year-old, he called the fight. Like, okay. I'll lay you flat.
Reason I ask that is because sometimes the optics, which is a very popular word now.
Exactly.
People love the optics.
This is what this conversation is about, the optics. This is all this shit is about.
I saw some very ignorant shit on WorldStar this week. I'm not sure I sent you guys
the
link.
Yeah, you sent that ignorant shit.
I'm not sure if you saw it.
I'm like, why are you even watching this shit?
That's my question.
We've all been on WorldStar within the last 3 months.
That was my question.
We've all been on WorldStar.
Was it late night? You couldn't sleep? You were like, let me see some.
No, actually, it popped up. I think it might have popped up on WorldStar. I was going to say it popped up on Instagram, but it did pop up on Instagram later. But it popped up on WorldStar. I go to WorldStar.
Well, what is this video?
So this is a video. It's very ignorant. See, the thing about WorldStar that I could appreciate is WorldStar always answers that question. Is there any limit to ignorance? You know what I mean? Like, have you seen the most ignorant shit you think you've ever seen in your life?
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Keep clicking. So now there's a WorldStar video of two young girls, both in hoodies, fighting. Now one girl is in a wheelchair. And the girl
was that in the screenshot?
Is it a screenshot?
Of course it was. It was probably in the whole heading.
No, that's the thrust. That's the plot of the video. So but there's a girl in a wheelchair. I don't know how far along her condition, she's wheelchair bound and she's talking.
I don't know
shit.
How far along.
I don't know if he was I don't know if she was new to the chair because she was speaking like she wasn't in a chair. That's what I'm saying. She's in a wheelchair and she's approaching this young girl and she's talking slick. Like, yo, what was that? The girl was rolling up on her, no pun intended. She's in a wheelchair and she was like, yo, what was that shit you was talking? You talking all that shit? What's good now? And she rolled up and she grabbed the girl, the able-bodied girl wasn't in a wheelchair. And the girl who was standing, gave that wheelchair girl quite a few hits to the head. I mean, like, she was lumping up too. She hit her with some percussion.
I think somebody at the end, I think a girl at the end of the video who cut it off, she was like, this is ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. That's why he turned the camera on mine. And thank you for keeping it all in frame. But I gotta ask you. Look, there's privilege, you know what I mean? And there's things that, there's lines to cross,
yeah.
And there's lanes to stay in.
Mm-hmm.
If you in a wheelchair, and you popping shit, and you get your ass whipped,
Hey man, it's all fair, man. I think a shit talker know what come with shit talking.
What can happen?
I think a shit talker know. You know what I'm saying? And like you said, we don't know her status in the wheelchair community.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? She might be a temporary wheelchair person.
Right.
Because I've you know what I'm saying, come across a temporary wheelchair situation before in my life. So we don't know if she was just temporary and just popping her new, usual pop off.
I say the nigga hop up out of wheelchair and do Mayweather footwork. The whole shit was a ruse. I almost crashed my car driving down 2nd Avenue one day, and I just see this motherfucker doing the wheelchair, see somebody fucking with him, and I'm driving my car, and I just see him hop out the fucking wheelchair, and oh man, the shit was crazy.
It is a humbling experience, though, I imagine, for the young lady in the wheelchair. You know, it's one of those things where you go home and you go, I gotta learn how to use my words. You know what I mean? I gotta learn how to use these. I gotta learn how to use my dialogue.
I gotta be alert.
She ain't never got lumped up before.
Nah.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
That's what the people was like, chill.
It didn't even look like she had any wheelchair techniques to the, you
that's
know
what I mean.
Because usually, you know what I'm saying, somebody in the wheelchair or you know what I'm saying? We had this one cat, Willie, in our neighborhood. He had the one arm.
I love that Willie.
You know what I'm saying? He had the little short arm on the right side.
Right.
Then he had this real strong. He had a super strong ass. Bionic arm.
Hey, Willie, come open this jar. Willie, open this jar, goddammit.
Oh, shit.
Every year, it's always one motherfucker that want to try Willie.
Willie, uh-huh. The window stuck. Willie!
And Willie take that one bionic arm and whoop a motherfucker and get a motherfucker hooked up in the head.
Willie, come pick up this casket, Willie.
Man,
Willie.
Please.
One man, Paul Barron.
Man, please. Them, Willie whooped your ass.
That shit
with
like
that,
an entree.
With that one arm, boy.
Yeah,
so, but she ain't look like she had no none of the wheelchair techniques.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm saying.
She might have been newer temporary. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, hey, tow this truck, goddammit. Get over here.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Hey, when I graduated, I went to FAMU, I went one semester at Miami-Dade Community College.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this girl there. You know what I'm saying? We all be in the breeze wave. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Me, this cat, Bam, Marvin Dixon.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, there's always a bunch of girls around. And then it was two sisters, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then one sister, she was real fine, you know what I'm saying? Then she had, and it was the other sister, she was in a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? They look kind of just alike, but you know what I'm saying? One was in a wheelchair.
Right.
And the one was in a wheelchair, you know what I'm saying? She always, you know, be laughing in my face and shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, ah. You know what I'm saying? That was my first time being confronted with that situation.
Oh, she was snapping on you?
Not snapping on me. Like, she was liking on me.
Oh, okay. I thought she said she was laughing in your
face. No, no, no.
Oh, she was hitting on you? Like, hey,
she was liking on me and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, but you know what I'm saying? I had to go and think.
Like, how she looked?
I mean, she was straight. You know, let me finish.
Mm-hmm.
She was, you know what I'm saying? So I'm like, damn, man, I can't really holler at no chick in a wheelchair. You know, you 17, you still vain.
Yeah, that's tough. My niggas gonna say,
you know what I'm saying?
I know they gonna say some slick shit.
You call yourself going for fresh and shit, you know what I'm saying?
Man.
So I just couldn't do it, my nigga. I couldn't do it. And then I went to fam. Then I came home one summer. And obviously, she was a temporary wheelchair person.
Mm.
Was up in Miami Nights one night,
mm-hmm.
ran into her and her sister, and she is finer than a mother. Cause now when you see her out of the chest, she about 5'10". She 5'10". And then the whole thing was the whole thing was a track injury.
Mm-hmm.
She had a track injury, so she was temporary in the wheelchair. And I was, you know what I'm saying? Motherfucker looked at me like, whatever, nigga.
Oh, dude! You know the kind of love you could have gotten if you hadn't messed with her in the
man,
wheelchair.
Listen, man, but you know,
right? You know what I mean?
See,
he's been with me since. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
That's why you gotta watch your motherfucking. You know what I'm saying? You gotta watch your, you know, How you discriminate?
I just picture you doing reconnaissance. Excuse me. You know if that chair is temporary?
That's what I'm trying to ask. Like, see, do you let her volunteer that? Or what's the smooth way that you find out? Like, nah. So how'd you, because do you, is it rude to be like, what's going on?
But that's when you know what I'm saying, when you really try, you know what I'm saying? I would have had to get to know her, dog. I ain't try. I ain't got no regrets, but that's a situation of a temporary wheelchair moment.
Oh, man.
That's God testing you right there, guys. Like, let me see what he's going to do.
Yeah, motherfucker here don't know the game.
Dude, let me see what he's going to do. That is hilarious.
Young and dumb.
Man.
You cannot write stuff like that, dog.
Shit. All this talk has made me hungry. Blue Apron. Shout out to Blue Apron. They are sponsoring the podcast today. And this week, all of that. They're sponsoring the podcast this week. I'm the only person in the studio right now that's been cooking with Blue Apron. I just cooked some chili last night, like a spicy mole chili. It's pretty good. It was good as hell. It was actually some flavors I probably wouldn't even have thought to consider. I always say this week after week, it broadens your horizon of what you would thought to eat. Like they had some carrots chopped up in the thing, and I like a good carrot, but I don't think I've ever chopped up a carrot to put in a dish. You know what I'm saying? And it was good. It was good. It was good. Good flavor. Anyway, that's a lengthy testimonial. Let's get to what we must read. check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/conversation. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/conversation. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
I've been cooking, by the way.
Oh, you been cooking?
Yeah, I got a.
That's why you should try this Blue Apron. I'm trying to tell you.
I don't know if I cook, because I use a pressure cooker now.
Oh, goodness.
And I made some salmon. And that pressure cooker, boy, you can cook salmon. Like, you can cook tons of chicken breasts in like 12 minutes.
What are you doing all? What you mean? Bunch of chicken breasts.
So my mom came to the crib on Sunday, and we bought about 6 chicken breasts.
In L.A. or
here? I came here this weekend. Uh-huh. My dad bought a pressure cooker too, based on my recommendation.
Uh-huh.
Put the chicken breasts in that thing, dude. Like 18 minutes, we cooked about 6 chicken breasts.
What
big old ones?
I don't even know enough about pressure cookers. Let me tell you, because when I was growing up, somebody that my family knew. The damn pressure cooker exploded, fucked that whole shit up. And that became like, I don't even know if it was an urban legend or somebody.
My mother had the same story.
Everybody had a story about these pressure cookers exploded, so pressure cookers was not even an option.
Mm-hmm.
So what exactly is the pressure cooker experience and why?
So the pressure cooker now, they're digitized now, so they have a way of monitoring the amount of pressure that builds up into the machine versus, it was not like an old school one, but you just, you know.
Like a pipe bomb.
So it has, you know, the functions of the buttons, what you're cooking, chicken, meat, whatever you want, beef, it just press the button and it cooks it.
Yeah.
And what happens is that you put a cup of water in there, put your meat, ingredients, stew, whatever you're making, rice, whatever it is, and then it boils the water, but it keeps the steam in.
Right.
So it raises it to like 200-something degrees.
Right.
And because it's steam-infused, everything cooks super, super quick.
Really?
Very easy to clean. You don't got to use oils. Just cook it dry if you want, because there's water in there.
So it's like steamed chicken.
It's like steamed chicken. But also, before you steam it, you can also graze. You can like
season it.
But also, you can just cook it without any water.
Sear it a little bit.
Sear it a little bit, and then pressure cook it. Sure. I made some beef in there, some beef stew. So tender, man. It was delicious. It was like, I recommend it, dude. It's easy to clean, and I used that for like 3 days.
Yeah, man.
Interesting.
You know what I'm saying? Ever since they've been using pressure cookers to do bombings and shit, I don't fuck with them shits.
Oh, they do use them.
Boston Marathon, that shit that blew up in New York last year. All that shit was pressure cookers. Yeah, I'm like, nigga, Ali Muhammad don't want to fuck with no pressure cookers, man.
If you do, pay in cash.
Listen, man.
Don't buy that shit with your card.
But I do, you know what I'm saying? All this newfangled shit I don't be fucking with too tough. But, you know what I'm saying? Them, we got a, I don't know where the fuck we got this rice cooker from. We got a rice cooker from somewhere.
Uh-huh.
As a gift, I think. And then I tried that shit. That shit is on point.
I'm telling you, man. You know super easy. Super. I got a rice cooker, too.
You know what I'm saying? You just throw that shit in there. Walk away.
You know? Not yet.
Before, you know what I'm saying? You be in that bitch stirring rice like grits.
Yeah, rice take a long time. Man, unless you get the minute rice.
Yeah, but then it's tricky to keep it from sticking and all that. You know what I'm saying? You gotta have a finesse with that rice.
And again, you make the rice cooker, you got rice for like 2-3 days. You just reheat it and you got food for days. That in the pressure cooker, you're good to go.
I hear what y'all saying. No doubt. I hear what y'all saying. I mean, I'm not sold, but I'm sure somebody's
you a pan fry guy?
I'm a pan fry guy. I like a good pan fry. I don't like a whole lot of food. Like, I don't like cooking. It sounds cool in theory to be like, yo, I'm going to cook all this chicken. I'm going to have chicken for the week. I'm going to dice up this chicken and da-da-da-da-da. Food after a day or two days, I'm done with it. Like, if a whole bunch of shit, I got, because now I got to contend with it. Now I'm eating this shit from Wednesday. It's like, right, I got to fucking get through this shit. I just eat for the moment and then make another dish for the moment. That's how I'm living.
No, for sure. Yeah. Well,
you got kids, man.
You got a different situation. I'm like a cafeteria cook around that bitch.
Like, I'm doing some. What's some good food? Okay, that's a good question because you probably know best. What's some good food that holds for a few days and gets better? Like, you know how chili gets better. Are there any things that you cook in bulk that you swear by, that people should fuck with?
I don't do that. I don't cook in bulk. I cook enough for all these, everybody to eat, you know what I'm saying?
It's just a lot of people.
You know
what
I'm saying? It's just, you know, it's five people, so right. I cook, you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of times, when I make spaghetti, it's always some leftovers that they enjoy the next day. Surprisingly, I tried some new shit this weekend, because I like a Reuben, you know what I'm saying? I like a good Reuben from the deli, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Corned beef, you know what I'm saying, situation.
Right.
So I always see the corned beef in the store, and be like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? How the fuck you do that?
Right.
I never fucked with the block of corn beef. Yeah, the big shit. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, you know what? I was feeling froggy one day. Mm-hmm. And I went in there, I jumped at it and got it. You know what I'm saying? Then I let it sit for a couple of days. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because I read the shit and it's like 3 hours. I'm like, ah.
Right.
Whatever I done got myself into. But I was like, fuck it. Saturday I did it. I put the shit in the pot. You know what I'm saying? Made it up, seasoned it up. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, it looked weird as fuck.
It looked a little gray.
Yeah, it looked gray, pink, and shit. He's like, man, this shit, I think I fucked this up.
Right.
Took it out, sliced that shit. That shit was just like the goddamn
thing.
Hilarious. I'm like, oh, shit.
Changed the game.
And then my kids fuck with it. So it was like, this is delicious. What is this? I'm like, it's corned beef. You know what I mean?
Ooh.
So we carved on that, you know what I'm saying, for a couple of days. You know what I'm saying? They tore that shit up.
That is a good win. When you could replicate what you get from outside in your house, when you figure out the cheat code, you're like, wait a minute, this shit tastes just like it, and it's cheaper. It's a wrap.
Did you make the Reuben sandwich at home?
Yeah, I made me a sandwich. I made motherfucking corned beef hash, and I grew up hating corned beef hash. I told y'all that story.
Yeah, you said out the can, right?
Yeah, out the can, because my mom came up on the whole shit out the can. We was eating on that shit every day for a month.
Shout out to Hormel.
You know what I'm saying? So I wouldn't even fuck with no corned beef hash.
Right.
Until I ate the real shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I was in New York. I was a grown-ass man in New York and ate some real shit from a deli. I'm like, ooh, this shit is delicious.
Different.
You know what I'm saying? So I did the corned beef hash shit at the crib. I got it in.
That's what's up.
You know what I'm saying?
What you cooking? So you pressure cooker, rice cooker? What you cooking?
Cooker,
what's your go-to?
I pressure cook it, and then also I got a nice little nonstick frying pan. Mm-hmm. I'm good with that. I went to Sur La Table. Mm-hmm. That's where I shop at now for my products. You know what I mean?
What is the shit called?
Sur La Table.
Sur La Table.
Yeah, Sur La Table.
Some pinky finger shit.
Yeah, some fancy. You know, you walk in there. Hey, people got on aprons for no reason. You know what I mean?
Can I get a brass pressure cooker?
Got like a nice $80 pants nonstick.
Let me get my water bottle that hit me via Bluetooth. You know what I mean? Tell me, nigga, keep drinking.
I'm good on the oatmeal, man. I'm a good oatmeal dude, man.
Okay, but what you cooking when you got a guest over? Like, what's a real
entree? You don't have no guests?
I mean, I got man.
Okay.
You know what I mean? If somebody's coming over and I gotta make something, what would I make for them? I could do a nice little steak. You know what I mean? Get it pan fried both sides, a little salt, pepper, uh-huh. Nice little arugula salad. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. That's probably what I would do if someone's going to make a steak.
What if she vegan?
Ooh,
I mean, that's a tough conversation, man. I'm gonna tell her to, you know, bring BYOF.
Damn,
you ain't even gonna try.
Man, listen, I there was a vegan strip club in Portland.
What does that mean?
That's what I said. I just got back from Portland. And apparently it's a vegan strip club. It's called El Diablo. And
devil don't like no shit like that.
That's what I'm saying. I was like, the devil like vegan? Is he like, you know what I mean?
So they got vegan food and strip
vegan
club?
Food. The whole thing is vegan. Vegan food, vegan desserts, and
vegan strippers?
Vegan that I don't know. I did inquire about that. I said, you know, is
some
it real?
Strippers.
You know what I'm saying?
real thin thigh gap.
Because I called D about, you've been to Portland? And D was like, yeah, I was flown by there. And then, so I'm asking around Portland. And Portland apparently per capita has the most amount of strip clubs per capita.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's that Nike effect.
So
could be, just do it.
Speaking of, even that, even the vegan strip club, I was like, I don't know if I want to do that. You know what I mean? So
you went?
I did not go to the vegan strip club.
What
strip
I feel like club they wouldn't have enough energy. You know what I mean? Like, they ain't gonna climb the pole like motherfucker that could eat little chicken and some rice.
You know, cut the song short.
Motherfucker that's on a poke chop.
Exactly. But who knows? Maybe that cardio game might even be better. Maybe they got that Kenyan energy. Anyway, So you saying
Kenyan energy?
Vegan. My menu's
stamina,
like that.
You know.
I mean, listen, I'm good for a good restaurant, man. You know, I'll find a good spot, take a lady out. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'll do. You know, I'm not a big cook, but I know where to take you for a good meal. Nice little conversation. Okay. You know what I mean?
All right. So if your steak don't work, you know how to motherfucking make a reservation.
Oh, hell yeah. I'm good with that. Open table? Forget about it. Yeah, I'm good with that. I'm not a big cook, but I know how to take you out.
Yeah. That's what's up.
Good for that. You know what I mean? I make everything
clean. Everybody always, you know what I'm saying? One of the things, L.A. has great weather, bad traffic.
Right.
But they always say that the dating shit in L.A. is weird.
I've always heard
What's
that.
What's your experience with that?
I think the conversation around relationship in L.A. is this is me just putting it out there. Mm-hmm. For the most part, a lot of the people in L.A. are imports. They've been brought in. You know, very few natives in that L.A. area, at least where I'm at. So what
Hollywood
happens is,
area.
Hollywood area. So what happens is that everyone's trying to get their opportunity. And I think for a lot of people, they associate opportunity with independence and I got to get mine. Mm-hmm. So the very conversation of dating is weird. It's like, I don't want to get too tied down because then I can't work on what I got
to
do.
Right. You don't want nobody telling them they can't go to this.
Yeah.
This
and there's a thing of like, who are you? What are you doing? How do you benefit me?
Right.
How are you not going to drag me down? You know, that kind of thing.
Right. What's your reputation? Because, you know what I'm saying? Do I need to be seen with you?
Exactly. Perfect point. Yeah. Who is this guy? Is going to add value to me walking around with him? Can he get me free into different places? You know, XYZ, what kind of car does he drive? All that stuff, man.
Word. So. Yeah, that sounds, you know what I'm saying, intense. You know? Glad I ain't on the dating scene in L.A., in New York, or nowhere else.
Yeah, I guess because L.A. seems like it's such a destination city, too. It's like everybody, it seems like for the same thing. So many people go in there to get into entertainment and blow up, right? And I'm sure there's more shit to do out there than that.
Of course it is.
But, like, New York, I mean, maybe finance is a destination, but New York is a destination for so many different things that it's not so homogenous. It's not the same fucking people. Like, the same kind of conversations become a little boring. But I will say this, though. What I've noticed about L.A., not on the dating scene, I was just saying this yesterday, because you hit me up like, yo, let's do some shit.
Right.
So I started thinking about a bunch of shit to do because when I go to L.A. as a New Yorker, it feels like it's a playground in the way that it's the options
it's spread out.
Are endless. Like, you see all these New York motherfuckers going to, no, just the people in general going to Runyon Canyon or they go to the beach or they go to the Green Market or they go to the museum or they going out, right? Mm-hmm. Not to say that New York don't have beaches, museums, and all that shit. But a lot of New Yorkers that I know, they don't indulge in the culture of that city.
We don't.
But that's one of the reasons, as a New York person, you always like, I know, I pay a whole lot for this shit. I mean, the return on investment is a little crazy. But New York's too lit. Meanwhile, you don't engage in none of the lit shit. You don't do nothing. You stay at your house and do nothing until you go out. For me, I'm just saying for myself, like when I go out to L.A., I'm like, oh, let me do some shit. That's why we was like, yo, let's do some shit. I was like, all right, fuck it. We could go here. I had to start thinking of stuff.
Yeah, because, you know, when you out, when you leave your space where you live
you're
and go to somewhere, you more exploratory, you got less constraints on you, your lady ain't sitting at the house waiting on you to come home.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You out. You out there to move around. You out there to do shit. You know what I'm saying? And I get it. That's how you do L.A. You go do all your meetings and you move around a little faster. So you doing 5-6 meetings and lunches and dinners and all that shit all at once.
What was the last time you did some different shit in New York?
I mean, I got kids. They have you doing different shit every fucking week. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying? Let's go roller skate. Let's go over here. Let's go on this play date over there.
What was the last time you did some different shit in New York, Chris?
I mean, not different. I mean, obviously, going to a museum is not that different. But I went to, you know, the Museum of Modern Art pretty recently.
Okay, cool.
But you know, that was on a whim. I mean, I've been in the city for many years.
I went to the sex museum.
Did you?
On, yeah, over on it's called the Museum of Sex. And
that nigga flag get loose,
you know, in the world. I was in the sex museum.
New flag. Don't they got like a bouncy thing? Like it's a bunch of titties or something. You like there's like bouncy.
A
titties?
Bouncy house. Of
like
titties.
A bounce house, but made out of titties and shit. Do they do that?
That's what's on the ad.
Just smile
on
Damien's face. Don't they got a bounce?
Do they have
titty,
that?
Titty bounce room with the titties and the bounce.
They call it the titty bounce.
The titty bounce. You know what I mean? And you in there, you jump around and you. They had when I was there, because you know they changed exhibits.
No, I won't speak on that.
Well, I didn't see the
titty bounce area.
What I did see though was they had a sex tape exhibition, and they showed like all the sex tapes: Kim Kardashian, Colin Farrell, Rob Lowe. They were just playing it like right there, watching celebrities, you know, get it in. And that was different for me because I'm very shy, and I've been trying to explore myself in that arena. So I was like, let me go to Museum of
see how celebs is fucking. Oh, just go to sex.
Maybe see, you know, so maybe
see how the Hollywood.
And it was weird watching exhibits with other people around you,
right?
And you're looking at the exhibit, but it's like, you know, it's like a sex toy or something like that. And
you go by yourself or you went with somebody?
The first time or the second time?
Both times.
First time I went with somebody. I went with somebody the first time.
And then you doubled back and went by yourself?
Yeah. So I went the first time a couple years ago with my ex.
Okay.
Went together because I was trying to spice up, you know what I mean? Let's go to the museum. Maybe we'll get some you can tell I'm very awkward in these.
Talk about it. Shy
Vlad is
conversations.
Gone.
I mean, new Vlad.
Spice this up. Let me go to this museum. It's many years ago. I was shy, you know what I mean? I'm undercover. Went in with a trench coat, some glasses, and we in there looking around, hoping to find some innovative spices to, season the pot. And the second time I went by myself, it was like me experiences by my own.
Did you still have on the trench coat?
No, I went. I had a t-shirt on, a little hat. You know what I mean? And because when I went with them, I remember I was being shy about the exhibits. I was trying to be weird, like, because I didn't want to be like, oh wow, look at he's digging that out. You know what I mean? I was talking like and she's next to me.
Whose idea was it to go the first time?
It was like, hey, I'm trying to find some new stuff to do, and I was like, let's go to this museum of sex. And we go up in, and they had a gift store at the end of your shop. You know what I mean?
So, you brought it up. You brought it to the table. Y'all did it. You know what I'm saying? What was her response? One, in the one invitation, and then two, after when you walking out, leaving. Like, how was it?
More accepting than I thought it'd be. You know, it was like, she was like, yeah, let's go. It's best. That'd be cool. Go to the Museum of Sex. We hang out there. Good time. We come out. We talk about, like, different exhibits, and we got into a conversation about how many black people do you see there, how many Latinos we see there. It was mostly white people there. Just as a commentary, like, we didn't see a bunch of...
They're visiting there. Or exhibit-wise?
Both.
Okay.
Because we were talking about, like, what the racial experience was in that atmosphere, how they play it, you know? Because you can't have... I feel like they'd be weird about, like, the black sexuality section, you know what I mean?
Right. Mandinko Quarter.
Yeah, Mandinko Quarter. No. They play a tape of Richard Pryor. Remember Richard Pryor's second bit?
No.
Pryor had that bit about how black people have sex.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah. Get it. Get that, girl.
And so,
yeah.
The white guy's like, pouch, could your piece pouch?
Yeah. So they didn't have the Jane Kennedy tape in there?
Nah. Well, did she?
That was the first. Sound like a request. If it's going to be Hollywood sex tapes,
who's Jane Kennedy? Who's that?
Oh, my God. Yo, that's a whole different generation. I'm going to tell you, because people fuck with Jane Kennedy, but I don't. Yeah, talk to us about Jane Kennedy.
Jane Kennedy is my father's, like, generation. I was, like, you know, kid coming up, Jane Kennedy was, like, the beautiful lady on TV.
Right.
I'm not even really sure if she's just an actress or she was Miss Something or some shit like
that. Well, how she look?
She was beautiful. You know what I'm saying? She was light-skinned, wavery hair, black lady, you know what I'm saying? Real 80s looking, you know what I'm saying? Nice body, you know what I mean? And then her husband, Leon Isaac Kennedy.
Is that my... No, I'm thinking of Isaac from The Love Boat.
He was... There she go right there. You know what I'm saying? So they had a sex tape, and the shit was so crazy because... In the sex tape, Leon Isaac Kennedy, like, first of all, she was up on a pedestal in pop culture. And then on the sex tape, Leon, he was just doing all kind of shit. They was high. You know what I'm saying? This nigga not only put his fist, he was all the way up in that damn to his elbow.
Wow.
With his whole arm.
Wow.
And that just like, that just.
Wait, who's the dude?
Her husband, Leon Isaac Kennedy, they broke up and he released the tape. He did it dirty. And then, you know, she caught all of it.
He fisted her?
Not thief, armed her. You know what I'm
uppercut.
Saying? He had like the whole fucking, he had this
whole shit in there.
So that shit was like some, like, whoa.
Oh, dude, dude.
And she had to, she took all the brunt of all the public, because he was already smoking crack or whatever.
You know what it's saying? Not Leon.
Leon Isaac Kennedy is his
okay,
name.
But it's not, oh, this is not Leon from Five Heartbeats, Leon.
No.
Hilarious.
He was a light skinned cat. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what he did. I don't know if he was an actor. I think he was an actor. He played one of them boxing movies. I think he played in Penitentiary.
Okay.
That was his movie.
Okay. He was going Penitentiary style.
Yeah, he went Penitentiary style. So that was like a salacious tape of the time that was like, you know what I'm saying, pre this modern sex tape thing. That was like a big old fucking deal back then.
You know, Chuck Berry had a sex tape too.
Yeah, they released him.
What?
Yeah, Chuck Berry was a wild dude.
He was wild. I mean, that's a lot of sex tape. I bet you that R. Kelly sex tape ain't in there.
He's like, hey girl, come over here.
Oh, look, you saw it?
Yeah, I seen a little, little clip of it. Come here. You know what I'm saying? Hey, you love me, don't you? I love you, Daddy. You love me, right? You know what I'm saying? Why don't you go lick my ass? She's licking his ass. He farts.
That sounds like he hazing her. He's like, you want to be my lady? Well, you got to go through the gauntlet.
I think they say she was a prostitute, so he was just he was doing
it for the gram.
Yeah, he was doing it for the gram. This motherfucker was wild in the morning.
Oh, shit, man.
Come here. He had that crazy ass voice.
Oh man.
Oh man, shit.
Oh shit.
What else? Yeah, what else going on, man? Y'all done took this shit off the deep end.
What's going on with you, man?
Man, I'm about to start a workout regime.
Word?
Nah.
You gonna create your own? Or?
No, I'm gonna go. I'm signed up for some classes and shit.
Okay. I know this nigga about to be the next Billy Blank.
No, nigga.
Muhammad's muscle.
The guru.
Exactly.
I'm the type of motherfucker. I ain't worked out since shit, high school. That's a long ass time ago.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I ain't worked out just for fun ever.
Right.
When I worked out, it was playing on basketball team, on football team.
Right.
That's it. After the motherfucker ain't tell you to run.
This is I'm trying to live workout.
This is I'm trying to live. There's a lot of people dying, man.
A
lot of niggas dying, man. Yeah. And then last week, man, I was with me and Laura. Me and Laura Checkaway. We went to shot this piece for this documentary.
Right.
And it was this lady. She 98 years old.
Mm-hmm.
She a yoga instructor. Mm. And she was in that bitch hitting it. You know what I'm saying? Real fluid, standing on the head, doing all that shit, man.
96.
96. 90, she might be 98. 96 crazy. Or 98. She the oldest yoga instructor in the world. Look up. You know what I'm saying? Tao something. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, shit, goddamn, if she could do this shit, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm in there shooting, you know, all the middle-aged white women in there doing the yoga poses. But the 98-year-old yoga instructor standing on the head doing the handstands, and I was like, yo, I gotta get my shit together, man.
Because
everybody, you know what I'm saying, you know, people dying all every week on the Facebook, somebody else dead that shouldn't be dead, you know what I'm saying, heart this, and you know what I'm saying, dealing with illness that.
There's so much death on Facebook, man.
You know what I'm saying? I got the benefit of the slim gene, but man, I need to get my heart together, man.
When somebody die on Facebook, do you like it or do you give the heart?
Sad. You could do the little sad. I do the sad face.
You do the sad.
Yeah, because that was always weird before you had the option.
Right.
It was just a little
hit
like.
With the, yeah.
Like, yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, what do you do?
I put some, you know, write a comment like sad to hear. You know, I write something in there. Write something nice.
Right.
But it's like, you know, a lot of people in my little general
vicinity. Crazy.
You know what I'm saying? Like, damn.
Nah,
so I'm trying to live. So, you know, I signed up for this little workout program. I start tomorrow, 6 a.m. Wish me luck, because I don't know how this shit's going to turn out.
Boot camp shit?
It's not a boot camp, but I heard this shit hard. It's not no. It's not
6 a.m. Like, sound hard already.
Nah, I'm gonna go ahead and get it. If I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna do it right.
Shit, that's the hardest part. I
don't want to go in the middle of the day. That's harder.
But you on your sunrise shit anyway.
Yeah, I'm on my sunrise shit. So
wait, what's the premise of the workout? What's the title of it?
Listen, man, it's a hard broad New York. They do some holistic shit, man. Oh, shit. It's a lot of body weight. And you know what I'm saying, kettlebell shit. I don't know. It ain't none of that shit where you go feel like, you know what I'm saying, like you in there about to push your mind, because I ain't ready for that shit. I ain't ready to go stunting in the gym. Ain't lift no weight since the 90s.
Not for the Snapchat just yet.
I gotta go in with the, you know what I'm saying, with the poses. You know, that
I ain't lift weights since the 90s.
I'm a creeper to this shit. You know what I'm saying?
Form together.
Yeah, you gotta get shit together before you go into prime time.
Get Bernice Burgos on.
No, you know what I'm saying?
He said, I ain't lift since the 90s.
Shit, motherfucker. I ain't finna walk up in the real gym with the, you know what I'm saying? What's my man, CJ?
CJ Fletcher?
Yeah, CJ Fletcher. CT Fletcher shit. Yeah. Motherfucker!
Yeah.
Push!
That's too much.
Nah,
I feel like jail.
I gotta cruise into that shit. I gotta finesse that. You know what I'm saying? I ain't finna do the Shea Moisture and go straight from just chilling straight to the motherfucking power lift.
You a fool, man. You a fool, man. I swear to God, you a fool. That shit is hilarious.
Speaking of workout plans.
George Bush was in office George Bush Sr. was in office the last Hell time yeah. I leave.
Hell yeah, I've been chilling. You know what I'm saying? I've been chilling, man. I'm laid, but I'm a cool motherfucker.
Oh,
I get mine in on just on some regular shit, on lifestyle shit. I ain't never, you know what I'm saying?
just endemic.
Yeah, my workout is what I got
shoveling,
to do.
Shoveling snow, right?
All right. I'm going to walk down the block. My walk to the store workout
Walk. I'm going to carry this 6-pound camera for 12 hours and shit like that.
That's ridiculous,
you know what I mean? I might do a couple push-ups every now and again if I'm feeling like I'm, you know what I'm saying, going too far the wrong way. But yeah. You know what I'm saying? I never liked the gym culture. That's the thing about it.
It's a different culture.
You know what I'm saying? I wasn't really up on all that, man. Oh. But you know, I know that I'm getting older, I feel the need to be strong and shit. I gotta get, you know what I'm saying? Just in case. You know what I'm saying? I wanna be, you know what I'm saying? I saw
in
that
in case
90...
you in first class and somebody smush your baby.
I might have to flatten them. I'm gonna lay you flat.
You don't know the story.
Can't get babies getting mushed you know in man? Your first class cabin.
I got a couple of fight tricks, but I wanna be strong with my shit. You know what I mean?
That's all. Man. Also, as you get older, you get hurt in weird ways. You don't want to be that guy.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
What happened? Oh, man, I was, you know.
Then I lightweight got this little shoulder situation. That the motherfuckers is trying to say is arthritis and shit. I'm not accepting that shit, man.
Dude, I was running for the trade yesterday. It looked terrible, man. And it wasn't even that far. But I knew I wasn't going to catch it. I was like, all that shit looked hobbled and shit. I was like, I got to do better. This is terrible. That shit said, ding, ding. Take it easy, man. Oh, it was horrible. It was a bad shape. Speaking of all this workout shit, a friend of mine, shout out to my man Duke. We talked about Duke before. Duke is a physical trainer. Duke came across, actually my cousin Say Cool came across, gave it to Duke, came across some workout plan. I hate giving them any pub because it's been highly shitted on by trainers and people of this path. There's this new thing called Con Body. And basically,
like convict,
so-called ex-cons train you
all top, no bottom.
Exactly, got to look like a pigeon. They train you how to work out.
Got a triangle body,
as if your personal safety depended on. Right. No, but they train you to get the fucking, like, people go. And I was talking to my man Duke, who's a physical trainer. Mm-hmm. And you know what I mean? Woke as fuck. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Woke AF.
Don't blink. You know what I mean?
But I felt obviously it's gross. But I asked him, I said, Dad, how do you feel? Were you feel more grossed out by the fact that they leveraging the convict lifestyle? Or are you upset more so as a physical trainer?
I mean, it's gross. What do you mean it's gross?
Because this was the thing. And I talked to some people that had been in jail. Mm-hmm. Who were, you know, do their thing. Mm-hmm. And they were like, I don't really like to wear jail as a badge of honor.
Okay.
As anything to glorify. As, like, you could get a six-pack without having to go to jail. And that's not all motherfuckers is doing in jail is working out. It's a lot. Motherfuckers is working out oftentimes just to stay stressed and right. just to stay on point just in case
right,
some
just
shit
in case.
Right. It's a you different type of insurance. So when you leverage it like, yo, you want to look like a motherfucker that did 3 to 6? Like, it's just, it's kind of weird.
So, what kind of body you want? 3 to 6? 25 to life? What, exactly. you for? What kind of body?
Shit. I think if you get in life, I don't think you give a fuck about a six pack. I well, think my you brother, say, my fuck bro- this.
There's a dude in the Bronx teaches, it's called 52 Blocks.
Yeah, you talked about that.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
And he teaches, like, you know, close quarter combat.
Jailhouse combat.
Jailhouse combat.
Mother deer.
Right. So.
So, I mean, but my, I don't have them kind of worries, man. My biggest worry about this whole shit is I don't know what to wear to that shit.
To the fitness thing?
To the gym. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, nah, you can't come in there all looking old. Like, I ain't got no gym sweatpants. You know what I'm saying? My shit is like leisure wear.
What you got no sweatpants at all?
I got sweatpants, but they ain't no gym sweatpants. They ain't like, you know what I'm saying, the shits that bunch up at the bottom
oh,
and shit.
Yeah, don't got
I ain't got
elastic.
None of that shit. I ain't got none of that, you know what I'm saying, modern.
So what you gonna wear tomorrow?
I'm going to get me some shit tonight. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to get me some modern tech shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna be the best dressed motherfucker in there if I'm gonna be the weakest.
I think I've gone the corner. There's a Models.
There is, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm
going to go get me some modern shit, you know what I'm saying? Some shorts with the little modern tech tights and shit to keep
what sneakers you going to wear?
Keep it cool. Actually it's a barefoot workout, but I got some Nikes on the way they're not going to make it tomorrow, but I got some Nikes on the way. And then I was looking, Adidas got some fresh little workout shit too. So
you want to wear a t-shirt? What you going to wear?
Wearing one of them tech shirts, you know what I'm saying? One of them shits that's...
They wick off the sweat?
Yeah, whatever the fuck. I don't know what they do, but they look technical and they look modern. That's what I'm going with. I don't care what the shit do.
You got your bottle of water ready? You got the whole thing?
Yeah, I got my water. I'm a bike over there. You know, I ain't even driving to the gym.
How far is it?
About 2 miles. I'm going to bike over there, shit, 5 a.m.
You sure you want to bike it?
Yeah, I'm going to bike it. I'm going all the way in, man. If it's a mistake, I know immediately.
You got your post-workout meal ready? You know what you're going to do afterwards?
I'm going to Juices for Life.
All right,
Malcolm X. I'm going to Juices for Life. Get me a protein.
What's your lady? Your lady excited? She's like, yeah.
She don't even know yet.
You ain't tell her you're going to work out?
No, I'm going to tell her that.
You going to show up one morning like, yeah. Nah, just with a big old just body. Just
nah, I'm going to tell her tonight. This morning, she was like, you need to take better care of yourself. You know what I'm saying? She was putting stress on me, but she didn't know I'd already signed up to work out. So I'm going to just come in. You know what? I'm gonna take better care of myself, baby.
What's the what you signed up for? Like a month? What you signed up for?
I signed up for one class.
Oh, just the one?
yeah, motherfucker. I want to see this how this shit work. Now, I'm not finna invest the whole wad and then get there and I don't even like the shit. You know what I'm saying? What the fuck, man? I'm gonna go test it.
You fool, man.
I'm gonna test it, man. I'll let y'all know next week
if
the shit went okay or not. You know what I'm saying? That shit might be too crazy.
When you sign up, they try to upsell you? Like, hey, you should really sign up for the month package.
I signed up on the goddamn website, man. You know what I'm saying? Ain't nobody, I wasn't talking to nobody. I talked to the motherfucker after. You know what I'm saying? But nah, I got introduced to it because L. Clay take the class, and she introduced me to the owner dude because we were going to do a video barter situation. You know what I'm saying? So that's how I got introduced to the class. So I'm going to go see what it's about, man. I heard it's hard as shit, but I'm gonna go check.
Is El gonna be there with you?
I don't know who the fuck gonna be there. I don't think so. I don't think El getting up at 6 in the morning. 5 to be there at 6. You know what I'm saying?
You don't know the name of the class?
Yeah, it's Hard Boiled.
Oh, it was hard. That's the
Hard Boiled NYC. Around. Yeah, Hard Boiled, like a boiled egg, like a hard boiled egg. NYC, Hard Boiled NYC. So I'm gonna try that shit out. You know what I'm saying? It's a little some old new age, holistic, you know what I'm saying, strengthening.
I'm looking it up right now. I'm trying
to
see
what I'm
saying.
I'm going to start there. Then once I get my shit together, then I join the motherfuckers at the neighborhood. Why?
The program Hardboiled is based on building functional strength and increasing mobility through integrative movement and strength training.
That shit sound easy, huh?
Dynamic stretching, mobility practice, crawling, rolling.
That shit sound easy.
And resistance training, loaded and body weight, incorporating pull-ups, squats, dumbbell, kettlebell, barbell, sandbag training. Owner-operator Ricky Bryan is certified by world-renowned functional fitness and physical culture authority, Steve Maxwell, who I know. I know Steve Maxwell. I know of him.
See, that shit all sound like, yeah, I could do that. Yeah, that don't sound like pushing 300 pounds on a bench press. And then I heard that shit hard as fuck.
This look official, man. This look
shit,
like...
They say that shit hard. So we gonna see, man. I don't know where the fuck D went.
This looks official. But, this is waiver. Yeah, this is, you know, this is official though. But if you like it, let me know, because I may have to pop in one day for a class with you.
Yeah, yeah, I'll let you know. You know what I'm saying? I'll let you know. You know what I mean? But, you know, where you going to be this week?
Oh, I will be at, I'm in New York this week. I'm here for the week, visiting my family, doing some shows. I'll be at the Stand, New York, Stand Restaurant and Comedy Club, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I'm there. Doing shows at 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock the whole weekend.
No doubt, no doubt. And I, you know, I'll be at the Hardball in NYC trying to figure this body out, you know what I'm saying? Trying to get this dad body up off me, you know what I'm saying? And y'all see me flexing on the gram, y'all know.
You know what's going on.
Y'all know, you know what I'm saying? But I ain't going to be the motherfucker posting my workouts because I don't know how them shit's going to look.
Especially when you first start out, you're going to look a mess.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? But I'm going to look good doing it, though.
Did you ever work out in your life, ever? I never worked out for...
You know what I'm saying? Like, I worked out for a reason. Basketball practice, football practice. I rode.
And now you're working out for life.
I rode a bike. I would bike for fun. I just used to like doing that shit. At one point, like a two, three year stretch, I was doing 30 miles a day on a bike.
Wow.
Just to do it. You know what I'm saying? Miami at Cutler Ridge has a bike trail that goes from Cutler Ridge to Coconut Grove. And it's like non-stop, you know what I'm saying? So it's like 16 miles each way. So I would do that every day right around sunset. I just love that. Just to do, that was the only type of shit I would do just for fun. Besides, you know what I'm saying, the ladies and lifestyle shit. But, you know what I'm saying? So this is my first time actually saying, you know what, I'm going to get my shit together just to get my shit together.
That's important, man. I've been working out, too. I've been in the gym for a while now, too. I don't think D worked out.
We're going to get him in there, too. Yeah. But, you know what I'm saying? Right now, you know what I'm saying? Thank you for joining us in the conversation. And like always, tell a friend to tell a friend.
It's even an enemy.
Man, we got to do that.
I know. I'm sorry.
You know what I'm saying? All right, we're going to tell a friend to tell a friend.
Or even an enemy.
To get in the conversation.
We out.
Yeah.
Of it all is to be in the conversation.
This has been a Stand Up Labs production powered by Digital Media. Subscribe to new and archive episodes wherever you listen to podcasts, and find all of our shows at standuplabs.nyc.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
We out.